Unexplainable things happen everywhere and anywhere. It doesn't seem that there's a place safe from the paranormal and the supernatural. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we are celebrating a big milestone in this series. This is episode number 50. It's insane to think that over the past couple of years, we have done 50 episodes of unexplained supernatural happenings. As always, if you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Joining me today, reading one of these stories, is my good friend Jensen. If you don't know who he is, be sure to check out his channel after the video's over. There's a link to do so in the description down below. I'd very much appreciate you guys checking out his channel. I think he definitely deserves to have a bigger audience. Anyways, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true and unexplained stories sent in by viewers just like you. There are two stories in this one. They might be short, so forgive me. These stories might possibly be similar. There was a white figure and a black figure. The white figure, this takes place during the time when I was living with my grandmother on the reservation. My cousin, brother, and I were in the living room watching Dragon Ball Z, Kai, from a VHS tape on the box TV. Close to the time when the show was about halfway done, we felt uneasy for some reason, and tried to keep ourselves from looking at the windows that had no curtains. When the show was almost over, we heard a loud, sudden banging on the window, and all three of us looked at the window almost at the same time. What we saw scared us so bad. We huddled together and stayed close together, as we had to pass the window to get to our grandmother's room. We talked with her about what it could be, and she said for us not to talk about it and to stay away from the windows. About 15 minutes later, she told us to go to bed, so we did. In the morning, we were getting ready to play outside, and once we got out, a bird without a head landed in front of my little brother. We were unsure of how this could happen, as there were no trees above us and no buzzards or eagles around. We were living in a farm area, and there were no houses or towns nearby. The closest town was about 40 miles away. This next story is about the black figure. This takes place at least 3 or 4 years after we moved away from my grandmother's. Living with my aunt and uncle, we did a lot of farm work with cows and chickens and stuff. When I was taking some square bales that rolled downhill the night before back up, this was in the morning and about a half hour before the bus would arrive. I set the square bales by the stack and made sure it was nowhere near the steep part of the hill. I turned around and looked to see what looked like a three-dimensional shadow running toward the shadow, and at first, it was maybe 30 feet away from me. I ran inside and told them what happened. Nobody believed me, and nobody did anything about it. After school, when my aunt was driving me back home, she told me that the night before, there was a tall black figure that kept walking over her bed, and it had long, black hair, and no discernible face.
Hi, Swamp Dweller. I've been listening to your channel for about a year now. I love it. You're now my absolute favorite YouTube channel. Now, I love creepy stories, scary stories, and anything paranormal. But I've never had any paranormal experiences, thankfully, that I can remember. I'm a 30-year-old African-American woman that lives in Ghana, West Africa. My life is very normal. Wife and mommy of three. I don't smoke. I rarely drink. And never on the weekdays, as I work a 9-to-5. So this is not that scary. But freaking weird. My husband, who usually takes me to work, could not because he had recently taken the car to the mechanic. So on a Wednesday evening, I enter the gate to our compound. In Ghana, we build walls around our houses, and call them compounds. As I enter the gate, the carport is directly to your left. I saw the white Hyundai parked. I was like, okay, the car is now fixed. I came inside and no big deal. The next morning I was running late, but thought that I wouldn't have to ask my husband to take me to work, because I was the reason the car had to be fixed. So I left the house. Now I'm at the bus station, and I thought, let me call T, my husband, to come pick me up. But the bus had just pulled up, so I got on. Now later that day, I get home, and the car is gone, but my husband is home. When I got in, I asked him where the car is, because we're supposed to go out that evening. My husband said, "What are you talking about?" Now, my husband likes to play tricks, so I say, "The car was in the driveway. Where is it? Did your mom take it? Because I know we're supposed to go out." He now looks at me like I have three heads. He says the car was never here. I think he's shitting me, and I decide to ask every single person in the house. They all said the car was never there. I don't want to drag out the story, but even my six-year-old son said the car was never there. He wasn't lying because he's a horrible liar. So how the f*** did I see the two-ton all-white car twice in the same spot, but it was never there? I don't know what to make of this, but I hope it never happens again, because I don't like anyone thinking I'm crazy. I'm not.
I grew up in what is called a dry cabin off the grid in Alaska. This means we had no electricity except a generator, no running water, and we heated our home with a wood stove. My family built my childhood home on 20 acres that butted up against state land. We also did not have a driveway to our home, and walked a quarter mile to and from what we called a parking pad. Our nearest neighbors were roughly about a half mile from us. It was a very private place to live. I was probably about 17 or 18 when this happened. My parents were house-sitting for friends, and I was home alone. If I remember correctly, it was around 10 p.m., and in the middle of winter. I remember it was snowing quite heavily that night. I was sitting next to the wood stove, reading a book under lantern light since our generator had run out of fuel a few hours before, and I didn't want to go out and fuel it up. It's just too cold for that, so I just turned it off. Out of nowhere, and seemingly for no reason, my three dogs started frantically and very aggressively barking at the front door. It was that kind of bark that made me think that there was a bear outside, so I obviously didn't want to let them out. But like I said, it was in the middle of winter, so I knew it was very unlikely to be a bear, as they should have been hibernating. It was more likely to be a moose, but I thought that could not be very likely, because our dogs were so used to moose being in our yard that they hardly ever barked or even really noticed them. I tried to calm the dogs down, but they were acting like a bunch of crazed hellhounds. They suddenly quieted down for a split second, and that's when something knocked very hard and very loud on the front door three times. I grabbed the fire poker, turned my lantern off, and hid behind the wood stove, thinking it was some kind of crazy person who walked a mile just to rob us. The dogs went ballistic. I waited until the dogs finally calmed down to come out from my hiding spot, and very cautiously went to the front door with a flashlight and looked out the side windows to find that there was no visible footprints in the snow. This very much confused me, so I very carefully and slowly opened the front door to get a closer look, and there was absolutely nothing there but fresh snow on the front porch and steps. I was very freaked out by this, and decided to let my dogs out to investigate. They sniffed all over the front yard and porch like something had left a strong scent, but I couldn't see any physical evidence that there was ever anything or anyone there at all. It's been roughly 16 years since this happened, and I'd still like to know what this could have been, so if anyone in the comment section could give me your theories, I'd love to hear them. I have a theory of my own as to what it could have been, and I don't think it was a ghost. Swamp Dweller, if you read my story, thank you. I love listening to your videos and look forward to checking them every week. When this unnatural story happened, I was around 17 years old and an arrogant male. I am 23 years old now, and have never told anyone this story. Every summer, I always went to spend around probably 2 weeks or so pure relaxation with my grandparents in eastern Arizona. They lived out in the middle of nowhere, and since I was 17, this would be one of the last times I would venture out to see them for the summer. So we decided to make the stay an unforgettable one. And trust me, this was unforgettable. So the first day I decided that I was finally going to complete an exceptionally long trail next to the humble cabin. I had the whole day planned out, with stops for breakfast and lunch and at the very end, make it back for supper. So I got ready for the hike, getting my knife, food, and other essentials. But the whole time, for whatever reason, the hair on my neck was standing right up, and I had the feeling of dread. But I shrugged it off as my horrible sleep schedule. Once my things were packed, I said my goodbyes and left for the hike. As I stepped out of the house, the hot Arizona sun stung my skin, giving me nostalgia for my early years. I made it to the trail about 5 minutes later, and as soon as I made it to the cool forest, I felt uneasy, like I have never felt in my life. It was a mix of being watched and a feeling of butterflies in my stomach. This was weird because I lived my summer days in the forest and nothing like this has ever happened. But after around 45 seconds, it went away. Thoughts rushed through my mind about scary stories for the duration of the first part of the hike, which did not help at this point, because I was already spooked. Around 3 hours later, I found the clearing that I would always stop at, but this time I would use it as a rest stop to eat. As I found some shade under one of the nearby trees, I grabbed my stuff, my sandwich, my crackers, etc., and began to eat. I then heard a twig snap from right behind me. At this time, I was a well-built teenager and not really afraid of much, but as soon as I called out to it, it was too late. I saw it. It was tall. Skinny, but sort of built. It was freakishly tall, like around 9 or 10 feet tall. But the worst part was its dried, pale skin, and its head was like that of a deer or an elk. Oh, but the eyes. These eyes were blood red and filled with hatred and sorrow. As soon as I spotted this figure, I ran like the wind. But it was no use because it was seemingly right behind me every step. And I swear, every step that it took, it seemingly echoed throughout the forest, deafening my ears. As I ran, I was starting to run short of breath, but this thing was not. Around 15 minutes later, I noticed this thing was straight from the depths of hell, but it wasn't chasing me anymore. Thoughts rushed through my mind. Was that thing real? Am I crazy? Why me? Then my mom's voice. Ben? Ben, you there, honey? But it was hollow and off. There was no way it was my mom's voice. She lived in Canada, and these were the woods of Arizona. I called back out, but got no response. Then I called it again, and there was another voice, but one I will never forget. In a raspy, deep and demonic voice, it said, "You better run." Then, I bolted. My chest was still burning from the run before that. I must have run for 45 minutes or more, with this brute right behind me, reaching out for me. I was so deep in the forest that it would take at least probably another hour or so to get back to the trail and out of the forest, so I dove for a bush. I could hear the beast with every step getting closer and closer. I could hear its deep breathing in and out, in and out. Then it yelled out. Not in pain, but I think in frustration, as it could not find me. Then it ran faster than I have ever seen anything back to where this whole thing started. I really can't remember the rest of it. I remember opening the door and rushing into my room, sobbing. My grandparents got back from their late lunch and saw that I was very shaken up. They asked me what was wrong, and I told them that I won't ever be coming back. And I never have. I would like to start by saying that this story is my sister's, not mine. She swears up and down that this is a true occurrence, and I choose to take her word for it. I have heard my share of shadow people's stories, and one of them was my sister's. She always mentioned seeing shadowy figures in random places, both inside and out of her house. She said that they were not human or humanoid in shape. Rather, they were... I don't know. They were like those heartless creatures from the Kingdom Hearts games, if you know what I'm talking about. They were more like blobby shadows. Alongside this, she claimed that any time she saw one, something bad would happen in the area, or to the person that saw them. Basically, she described them as omens or harbingers of sorts. The most noteworthy event surrounding these things that I can recall happening was when she was 10 or so. I think I was about 11 years old. We were messing around in the yard playing soccer together with a volleyball when she mentioned that she saw one of those shadow things lingering in the neighbor's porch. She watched it for a while before we resumed our game. The day after, at around the same time of day, she sighted the same shadow creature. Suddenly, an ambulance pulled into the neighbor's driveway. He's okay now, and we found out that he had a heart attack. It can definitely just be a childhood imagination running crazy, and just really weird coincidences. But since then, my sister has said she has seen many more shadow creatures in my dad's car before someone ran a red light and crashed into it, as well as other mishaps, both minor and major. To this day, she says that she sees them every now and again, and insists that bad things still come along with them. To this day, she is still not sure if they warn of bad luck or cause it. A little reference. I live in the rural area of South Texas, and the city is like 40 minutes away. I do not have many neighbors, and wild animals such as coyotes, pumas, bobcats, and such roam about a lot. Weird things have happened on the land I live on, such as hearing loud drums in the distance, chanting, and all sorts of noises. My grandfather, who lives next door, claims that this land used to belong to a Native American tribe years ago before settlement came. The nearby town's park has a history relating to an Indian tribe that once roamed the land, so there is a connection there, hence the drums and chanting. Anywho, here's the story. It was late at night, near 2 a.m. in the morning, and for some weird reason, I remember that I did not brush my teeth. Again, I know, kinda weird. I got up out of bed, and right when I did, I heard an aggressive knocking on my side of the room from outside. It was not a light tap or anything. It was like a let me in right now kind of knock. I froze and stood for a minute. The knocking stopped, and then it took a few seconds before I mustered up some courage to walk to the restroom. It was at the other end of the house, so I was kind of scared. Right when I entered the kitchen, I heard the knocking again. This time near the sliding door in the kitchen, the opposite side of the house. This time, it was louder and quicker. Like it was more urgent than before. I froze again, and waited for a little bit longer. I just was terrified, but at the time, I couldn't make any sense of this. I heard nothing, after a while, and went to the restroom and brushed my teeth. On the walk back, I heard nothing again, and I soon went back to sleep. This was about 3 years ago, and I still do not know what the heck it was. I do not know why I kept going, and did not tell my parents. I just remember being frozen in fear and continuing on. It was a creepy experience. It took me about 5 seconds to get to the kitchen, and at that rate, the knocking happened right when I stepped foot. Whoever was knocking would have had to sprint around my house to match that rate. My house has thin walls, and you could hear if somebody was walking or running around, and I heard absolute silence. It was dark in my house, no light at all, because my dad said having one at night will raise the electricity bill, and nobody's awake at that hour. The gate in our driveway is always locked at night, and there's always a dog outside next door who would have been barking its head off if they saw someone enter our driveway. So no lights on, no barking, no sounds of footsteps through thin walls, no voices, no people around, just harsh knocking. There's no way it was a bat or something like that. They usually make a lot of noise and scratch up against our gutters, but I heard none of that. I quite simply heard nothing at all. Just the knocking. It showed my family to the core. My dad said next time it happens to wake him up. It's apparently happened before, but I was a very small child and don't really remember much about it. I'm 18 now, and about to graduate high school and go to college in a big city up in North Texas. To this day, I still don't know what was going on that night. It honestly felt like a Twilight Zone episode or something. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not gonna miss any of that once I move out. I've been following your channel for more than a year now, and you have even read two of my previous camping stories and videos. It is Halloween season right now, and one of your videos reminded me of a story that I'd like to share with you. It has nothing to do with the woods, but a spooky house. So, I am from Virginia. I lived in a house with some roommates for 2 years in my mid-20s. The house eventually changed my mind on whether evil energy exists. I have tons of stories, but I'll start with this one. So the house in question was over 100 years old, but renovated completely. The wood-burning fireplace in the living room was still original, however. Remember this for later. For sake of trying to lay the scene off what we had been dealing with up until this point, I will try to describe our experience living there in a nutshell. We had been having multiple creepy occurrences for months with the basement door, never wanting to shut despite being bolted. Voices calling us out by name, being pushed down the stairs, and my cat dying without explanation. There was always this heavy, unsettling, angry tension buzzing through the air. It is like you could be in a good mood 1 second, and then the next second you walk inside the house and you feel agitated for no reason. Someone would say something, and you would suddenly have the urge to punch the walls. That kind of thing. One thing I really enjoyed about the place was the wood-burning fireplace, though. I have always loved the crackles and watching the flames. It was my only sense of peace in the house. Not for long, though. One weekend, I had spent a long time cutting up cedar branches I had found and was looking forward to burning them in the fireplace that night. My roommates wanted to watch a football game in the living room where the fireplace was, though. It turned into an argument, which I was outnumbered and retreated to my room in a fit of complete irrational rage. But I wound it in and went to bed. The next morning, I woke up and noticed the smell of fire. I quickly looked out the window, thinking maybe the neighbor's house was on fire or someone had a fire burning outside. But that was not it. Then I realized it smelled like burning cedar. I went down to the living room where my roommate was also standing, looking perplexed at the fireplace. He asked if the house smelled like fire to me, and I said yeah, but there was no fire, no smoke, nothing. Just a couple of cedar branches sitting in the fireplace from the night before that I never got to burn. We both started searching the house for the source of the smell, but it seemed to just be in the air. While standing in the living room, talking about how strange this all was, we noticed the room started to get kind of smoky. Upon looking back, there was a tiny trickle of smoke spouting out of the stack of branches. We both watched it and tried to make sense of it. My roommate started to videotape it at that point. The living room was filling with smoke, and I went to open the chimney vent, but before I could, there was a decent-sized flame that just came up out of nowhere, dead center in the branch. I opened the chimney and jumped back. The draft must have fed the flame because it doubled in size very quickly, right before our very eyes. Not only that, but I think my roommate might have the video, so I can send it to you for my next story. We just cannot figure out how this could have happened. There were not any coals or anything because, like I said, I had just chopped these branches up and never got to make the fire the night before. We were thoroughly convinced that the evil energy in that house was showing its capabilities yet again. I do not know what to make of it. I am only glad that I don't live there anymore. I still get goosebumps every time I drive by that house, though. For some background, I have always believed in the supernatural and ghosts, but I'm also very skeptical and logical. I always assume science has to do with something, if something supernatural happens to someone. I believe there's always a rational reason behind everything. Anyways, this story took place in 2014, in Porcupine, South Dakota. My mother moved my two brothers and I here because she got a teaching job, so we moved into the housing they provided on campus. Now, this isn't any ordinary school. It was once a Catholic boarding school for Native Americans. If you don't know what happened during those times, you should definitely brush up on that dark history. It was terrible and sinister, honestly. A lot of messed up stuff happened and got covered up. Anyways, let me tell you about the house layout because it's kind of an important part in the story. The kitchen is right beside the boys' room. They both have windows facing the same direction. Anyways, on to the story. It was a late summer night. My grandma was in town to see our new house. She decided to bring her sewing machine to show me how to use it while she was here. So, we set it up on the kitchen table. I was in the chair closest to the window, and my grandma was in the side chair of the table. My mom was in the living room doing some work stuff, so while I was sewing some stuff, I got the weirdest feeling ever. Like, someone was staring at me. So I looked back through the window, and saw nothing. So I just shrug it off and go back to sewing. But, just a moment later, something weird happens. My grandma and I hear a loud clap over my head. We were kind of stunned about what had just happened. Nothing could have caused it. So I freaked the crap out. It was directly over my head. My grandma and I went over to my mom in the living room, who also heard it. All of a sudden, we hear something pound against the kitchen window. The boys then come out of their room because they heard the same pounding on their window. My older brother and I look out the windows and we see absolutely nothing. While this was happening, I was thinking, maybe somebody's just playing a weird prank on us. But the windows were quite high above the ground. I'm not sure anybody could have pounded on it. Then, I think about the clap over my head before the pounding. What can explain that? I honestly am still baffled by the experience. This wasn't our first supernatural experience at this house, so I'll probably share more with you soon. Thanks for hearing my story, Swamp Dweller. My mom and I really enjoy your content. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. This is our longest running and oldest series on this channel. I probably get sent more unexplainable stories than anything else, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I really love paranormal stories. Thank you guys so much for supporting 50 volumes of this show so far. Cannot wait to see if we get to episode 100 in this series. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it genuinely helps this video and the algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and be sure to turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories for free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. If you want to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. We have face masks, t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and so much more. If you enjoyed my friend Jensen's voice, who read story number 2 today, please be sure to check out his channel. You can find the link to do so in the description down below. He's a good friend of mine who has an amazing voice and works really hard. I think you guys would really like his content. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. It's been a great month of Halloween, and I look forward to what November brings. If you guys have any Thanksgiving horror stories that you would like to share in a future video, please send it in at swampdweller.net. I'm looking for some. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.